a radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Paul Gallant.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
The most interactive sports radio show in Houston.
Paul, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the devastation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant.
You are definitely living in the hindsight world today, Paul.
A lot of people were wondering what it was going to be like if the Stros didn't win the division. I guess we'll never know.
Hello and welcome aboard the Paul Gallant Show on a jubilant October 2nd of 2023. Is Houston a multi-sports town again? It wasn't just that the Houston Astros, of whom many of you stressed about, fretted about, got mad at Dusty Baker about, got mad at Martin Maldonado about. It's not just that everything went as it always does, with the Astros wrapping up the weekend with the sweep of the Diamondbacks and just enough help from the now-eliminated Seattle Mariners to win the AL West. The Houston Football Texans at NRG Stadium yesterday put together their most decisive victory since October 1st, of 2017, when they beat the Tennessee Titans 57-14. They kicked the Pittsburgh Steelers' asses 30-6 in a game that should have you, at the very least, if you weren't in already, in. Because this is a very, very favorable schedule for the Houston Texans. It is a glorious day to be a Houston sports fan. Finally, it's not just the Astros holding their weight. But I do want to start by talking about the Houston Astros, because I was a little stressed going into the weekend. And not stressed about, you know, what they were going to do. I was more stressed about, you know, looking right, looking correct. I am a take artist. It is important that I establish credibility with you people, as someone who knows ball. And let's be honest, I don't. But hey, my blind faith in the Astros has kept you around long enough. I jumped on the bandwagon, and very often it is I who has to stand before you to calm you down, to make you relax, to maybe kill the Texas Rangers preemptively. And here I am today. Thank God. Correct, John Mapes, who was shaking his head behind the glass.
Yes. No, not yes. No, the opposite. I'm going to say thank God the Astros won the division. I'm happy for them. They needed the extra days off. They get to skip the... What? No, I'm saying they get to skip the... These are all good things. How am I dipping down? I'm happy for the Astros. I'm upset for you, Paul.
Why?
Because freezing cold takes. You would have been that random guy who I'm sure works in Dallas Fort Worth area that was saying like, oh, the biggest gap of the seasons June. Look at these Astros, 5.5 games back with 100 games left. It's over. You could have been that guy with your funeral that you had. Freezing cold takes could have tweeted that video out that has the station, that has your Twitter handle. They could have tweeted that out to their 600,000 followers.
Okay.
And but instead, the Astros won the division.
I'm cool with that. I'm totally cool with that.
The exposure, Paul.
The exposure's good, and I know
you need
thinking
to expose
about
yourself
it
to these people.
You're thinking about it from a producer perspective.
Yes.
But I'm glad I'm not. Michael J. Beer, who, as you said, tweeted, it's June 24th. The Texas Rangers currently hold the largest divisional lead in Major League Baseball. Astros fans swore on their illegitimate ring. Well, what about the other ring?
What about the one last year?
Yeah, that this wasn't going to last back in April. Also, if I still have the ring, I mean, technically, it's pretty legitimate. Is it real? Yes, it's real.
Yeah. You can come kiss it. That's what you can do.
Or you could come and take it. Pya, pya. That was a terrible Western sound effect. But look, guys, I was really just stressing over whether or not I would be wrong. Am I selfish? Yes. But hey, here's how it all went down yesterday. Give me some Todd Callis in my life. Let's pump this bad boy up as the Astros took down the D-backs 8-1 yesterday.
And the Astros hold on to a 1-0 win yesterday. And now, if Kessinger throws on the money, it bounces over there. The Astros have done it. The Astros have done it again in 2023. The Kings of the American League West remain the Houston Astros. 6 consecutive full season titles and 6 of the last 7 years.
Todd, let's pick it up a little bit. Let's pick it up a little bit.
We have high standards here, Paul.
You know, that is true, Sean. I mean, now that the afterglow is behind us and we got to wait until Saturday to see who the Astros are going to play in the American League Divisional Series. I mean, you know, I'm more satisfied, of course, that the Astros won the division instead of getting a wild card berth, which is for the poor. But, I mean, the playoffs technically don't begin into the American League Championship Series. So, technically, the Astros haven't made the playoffs yet. They haven't made it yet. It's when they get to the ALCS. That's when we can officially say that they've made the playoffs.
Yeah, they have a play-in, a best-of-5 play-in series to get into the playoffs.
Right, exactly. It's a little bit different for us. We've been there. We've done that, you know? Like, some of these people, these poors, you know, these unwashed swabs, like in Texas. Oh, let's have a champagne party. We just clinched a playoff spot. Then you lose to the Mariners backups when those depressed Fenty addicts, not the team, just the city, when that team had nothing to play for and that they lost 1-0. That team had its backups in. You absolute scrubs.
It's actually insane that they did the full, like, plastic everywhere in the clubhouse, spraying champagne on each other. Like,
yeah.
It's actually crazy that they did that when they still had they controlled their own destiny to win the division. And they're like, eh.
And the other team was eliminated.
The other team, yeah, that too. The other team was eliminated.
I'm curious as to how Tab is doing. I'm glad that we have this because the last time Tab called in, he was basically patting us on the back.
Yeah,
he's like, hey, it's not all
maybe bad. Maybe now he'll pat us on the back again. Good, we did it.
He'll probably give us a handshake because Tab is actually a
very honorable, yeah.
Honorable man. Yes, we like Tab. We'll see him, I imagine, call in at the show at some point today. If not today, better be tomorrow.
Better be.
So that's the Astros side of things. I do want to talk about the Houston Texans, though, in the first segment. I was at NRG Stadium yesterday, and assuming C.J. Stroud's health the rest of the way, they have guaranteed watchability for the rest of the year. And to go even further, if you take a look at their schedule, find me the unwinnable game. Find it. The only game that I would have pointed at going into this week would have been on the road against the Cincinnati Bengals, who looked like doo-doo. Against the Tennessee Titans. 15-2 is crazy. I'm
but
not
it's
saying
on the table, you're saying.
It's not impossible. It's not impossible.
Hey, listen, they beat TJ Watt and that Steelers defense with none of their starting. Or no, I think one was Shaq Mason, the only starter from the preseason that is still alive.
Sean, they went to another left tackle. In the middle of this game, they benched Austin Deculus because he sucked. Again, surprise.
What?
And they put in Jaron Christian. I had never heard of this guy before.
Apparently, oh, Hayden's brother.
No, not him.
Oh.
I have no idea who this guy is. They bring him in. They put him at left tackle. Kendrick Green
he got
gets
hurt, yeah.
injured. And yet...
They pull a lucky fan out of the stands to play left guard.
They might have been able to, Sean, and they have not allowed a sack in 2 weeks. Okay, against the Jaguars, they have a bad defense. Cool, neat, splendid. That Steelers defense is really good. And I know there are going to be some of those people, specifically on our Twitch, who are doubting the Houston Texans, who are doubting C.J. Stroud. I think some people have called him Simple Stroud on the Twitch. You're an idiot at this point. Like, you're purposefully burying your head in the sand. That was their most convincing win in a really long time at an NRG stadium that, worst case scenario, was 30, excuse me, best case scenario for Texans fans care was 30% full with Steelers fans. At least. It was probably more than that.
I was going to say it was 60-40 Steelers fans. That's what it felt like.
I don't know if it was 60-40, but at the very least, there was 30% when, Steelers fans.
When the Steelers made big plays, when Najee Harris, there's a run where he got like into the red zone. It was a long run. It was the pass play, actually. It was the pass play to him where he like looked like he was going to step out of bounds but turned it back upfield. That was the loudest that the stadium was, except for the at halftime for the J.J. Watt thing. Even that actually wasn't that loud. Gonna pull some cards here.
I'm glad it's an afterthought because honestly, it was rather mid. To be fair, no offense. It's a halftime show.
Yeah, this is where the NFL could really use the college over or the college halftime.
18 minutes as opposed to 12.
Yes, the fact that J.J. Watt talked for. What?
They weren't allowing him to talk more than 2 minutes.
90 seconds?
Yeah. They even told him, you can only talk for 2 minutes. And the buildup to having J.J. Watt speak was a little bit too long. Sorry, I don't need to hear from Cal McNair. And no offense to Mark Vandermeer, who I love. Didn't need to hear from Mark either.
I think Mark Vandermeer talked more than J.J. Watt.
He definitely talked more than J.J. Watt. But, okay, that's the backstory.
Yes.
That's the back show
We will
here.
Get more. I have more thoughts on the J.J. Watt stuff, but we'll get to that later.
I think we'll get to it tomorrow, because... That's how good the Texans looked in this game. And they are going to be frisky this year. I think 10 wins is on the table. I think a division title is on the table. AFC South isn't very good. This team, with C.J. Stroud, has a pulse. If you're denying that, you are actively ignoring this team. So, beautiful day to be a Houston sports fan. You want to weigh in on the Texans' 30-6 win? You can. You want to weigh in on the Astros winning the American League West? You can. Coming up next, what makes it better for the Astros is the way that things ended for not just the Texas Rangers, but also the Seattle Mariners. Really beautiful to watch everything collapse in those two spots. We'll talk about that next. Paul Galacho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, the only sports radio on FM in Houston. Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant. Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
National League, Tucker trying to do it in the American League as he lines one to right. It's over the head of Jake McCarthy. McCarthy actually came in a step or two, didn't realize Tucker hit it that well. And Tucker is going to get to third, so he retakes the lead in triples. He's going to try to score. He's going to score. Give him the home run. I don't think they will.
They did not. I'm sure Dana Brown appreciates that they didn't give him that home run, and Jim Crane as well, so that the Astros can play BS games with Kyle Tucker in the next round of arbitration. But don't worry. We're going to sign him to an extension. Dana Brown will say. But that was a very easy victory for the Houston Astros on Sunday. They were up 5-0 in the second inning. And at that moment, you knew they would win. It was just a matter of, is the AL West going to help the Astros out? Specifically, are our friends up in Seattle going to help us out? Guys, on Friday, I actually went out on a date to Bobcat Teddy's wearing the half Astros, half Mariners shirt. Watched the game with a lady Astros fan. She thought the shirt was funny. It does play. And I'm thankful that the Mariners helped us out. They needed help, the Astros, to win the AL West. The Mariners definitely shot themselves in the foot a lot down the stretch. Their Run DMC outfits that they wore to New York City, 12 and 17, after they put those things on. But they did what they needed to do. And it allowed the Houston Astros Twitter account to do one of its best troll moves ever. It really was a thank you to Seattle, but it said, H-O-U, love to S-E-A it. I put that tweet in the Seattle group line that I'm in, and they all got mad. I can't believe it. I can't believe that they got mad at that.
What? That's a tip of the cap for one franchise and city to another. And thank you for, you know.
It well, was I guess a they thank didn't. You.
Yeah.
The Astros did thank the Seattle Mariners with that.
The respect.
Respect, you know? 100%.
Tip of the cap.
Some texts on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. When my friends and I play games, every time we get into a really difficult match, when we win, we go to game chat to say how it wasn't even close. I'm guessing this is video games. So to the rest of the AL West, not even close. We had the division locked the entire time. True.
I would like to tell the good people of Dallas-Fort Worth and the good people of Seattle, read a book called The Tortoise and the Hare. Learn a lot about the 2023 AL West divisional race.
That's right, Sean. I believe that the Rangers were in first place for 162 days.
That feels right.
Whoops.
I mean, to be fair, they can raise that banner of led the AL West for 162 days, and people will go, oh, games? Not days.
And they made it to the play-in playoffs. That's so cute.
Yeah, they have a best of three against the Tampa Bay Rays. I'm sure that'll go well. They love playing in Tropicana Field.
I mean, really, the only hope that they have is that finally Wander Franco not being on the Rays catches up to them. That is a crap draw. I mean, that's the other part about yesterday that's huge for the Astros is that they get to avoid Tampa Bay. If they were playing Minnesota, I'd feel great. I would not want to play Tampa Bay, even though I think the Astros would win that series. I would not want to play the Rays.
Even when you just look at, like, the bracket itself and the teams, because it's not like the NFL where they, like, the two seed plays the highest ranked of the remaining. No, it is straight bracket.
Which is weird.
Yeah, which
stupid. I honestly think that's dumb, but.
Yes. But it works in the Astros' favor here because on their side of the bracket, it's Toronto and it's Minnesota. And on the other side of the bracket, it's the Rangers, it's the Rays who play each other, and then it's the Orioles who are the one seed. So if you're to power rank the teams that are in the playoffs, I don't know where Toronto – the Twins would be last. I don't know. Toronto's probably second to last.
Honestly, Toronto concerns me more than the Rangers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I have no respect for the Rangers. I really don't. I think they're a nothing franchise. We've seen this before. What happened the last time the Astros played the Rangers? What was the final score? I mean, it was like Texans-Steelers. It was. Hell, it was no, like Texans-Titans back in 2017.
It's just weird to hear a positive Texans thing.
Let's talk about the Houston Astros victory in the AL West. Thanks to a team that plays up the road in South Oklahoma. We're talking about the Texas Rangers. Another episode of Rangers Watch.
In the eyes of a ranger, the unsuspecting stranger had better know the truth of wrong from right. 'Cause the eyes of the ranger are upon you. Any wrong you do, he's gonna see. Texas, look behind you, 'cause that's where the Rangers gonna be.
Welcome to Indiana Beach.
So, there's a lot of controversy that probably doesn't need to be a controversy about the way that the Rangers celebrated after clinching a playoff spot on Saturday. They did not clinch the division. Here is Rangers manager Bruce Bochy giving a little speech to the guys.
Oh, here we go.
I know we got some work to do, but you celebrate big victories, and this is a huge one. We started in spring training. We're heading to the postseason. Enjoy, savor this. Got a little more work to do. We're going to celebrate, though. Congrats on going to postseason, everybody. Here we go.
I mean, they partied. And what's funny is you don't know what's actually going on when a team clinches. Remember when we thought that the Orioles were getting absolutely sloshed when they celebrated getting clinched? I talked to my guy, Kevin Brown, broadcaster for the Baltimore Orioles, and he said, yeah, I did more drinking than the actual Orioles did, as did John Angelos. It wasn't a lot that the Orioles were doing. So honestly, who knows what actually happened after that? But Brian McTaggart, Astros writer for MLB.com, decided to tweet out something that has made it seem like the Rangers partying was the reason that they lost 1-0 to the Mariners on Sunday, thereby giving the Astros the AL West. He tweeted this: the Rangers partied last night while the Astros had a champagne toast and quickly turned their attention to Sunday and one more win. That's true. See Martin Maldonado give the toast? There were some claps. No hooting, no hollering. Houston's been there, done that mentality, paid off, it seems. And Rangers reporters, Rangers talking heads are pissed because of this. I was in the clubhouse. I know what happened, wrote Evan P. Grant. They sprayed champagne for 15 minutes at 8 p.m. That's a long time, though, 15 minutes, when you think about it.
It's a lot of champagne they're spraying.
Right. I mean, when the Astros won the World Series, the champagne spring also was going on for 15 to 20 minutes when I was in the clubhouse. Now, I did leave the clubhouse eventually, but 15 minutes is a long time if you're talking about spraying champagne. It's just wrong to suggest this was like a typical championship celebration. But damned if you do, damned if you don't. Players can't win. Damn shame.
No, I do disagree. Players can win, like the Astros did on the last day of the season to clinch the AL West.
Correct.
You can win. It is possible to win.
There was a lot of this year. I really do think there was some premature feeling yourself by both Texas, the Letterman jacket thing, and with the Mariners, the Run DMC outfits. The Mariners are 12-17 since they put those on before going to that series against New York. The Rangers are 18-21 since they're by way of Dallas collaborative Letterman jackets. Like, both of these teams are sub-500 there. I think they were both feeling themselves. And you know what? I get it. But it is a marathon, not a sprint. Tortoise beats the hare. Because the hare's a cocky son of a bitch. So to see all of the crying by people who cover the Rangers has been great. John Moore, who is at the Recliner Nerd, says, this is why nobody likes the Astros. They didn't even win the West. Rangers lost it to a really good team. Astros didn't earn the AL West. They weren't the best team. In fact, they were the third best team. Had to have another team win it for them. Oh, man, that is just so salty. Do you know how winning works?
Luckily, they keep track of all the wins and losses for the entire season.
Yes.
And that's how they hand out who wins the division.
Sir, John, at the Recliner Nerd, sir, this is the most loser tweet I've ever seen.
Oh, they didn't even win the West.
No, they did. They won the West. Like, this is how it works. And it's because the Rangers puked it away. And you could say that the Rangers gave it to the Astros. A gift we gladly accept, but you did give it away. Also, it wasn't just Bruce Bochy giving that speech that people are laughing at. I guess the Rangers broadcast was complaining about the players that the Diamondbacks were putting on the field in yesterday's season finale, which the Astros, of course, won 8-1. Here is that call.
You want to see Christian Walker and Corbin Carroll in the lineup today for Arizona?
Look, if you are a Diamondbacks fan or in any way invested with Arizona, no, you don't.
Yeah.
That said, and I don't know how many managers would feel this way if they were in that spot, that they have a duty,
yeah,
a competitive duty, because the opponent, I mean, there are really big implications with Houston winning that game.
I really love how whiny that brought.
broadcast gets. And we're going to miss him in the postseason. It's one of the unfortunate parts about the playoffs is now we get the national broadcast. And the national broadcasts, in their defense, it's hard, but they just do not have the same pulse on these teams that the local guys do when they're doing it on a daily basis. And the emotion, the sadness, the despair when those teams lose, we're not going to be able to get high off of it.
No, we'll just have grumpy John Smoltz. That's what we'll have.
Yeah.
Being like, back in my day, you threw 110 pitches.
Yeah, and Dodger Joe Davis, too. Ugh. Although he had some nice calls in the World Series. We will give him credit. I did take a look at this game to see if the Mariners did sub some of their players out. And they did in the top of the seventh. So, again, Seattle won that game 1-0. You can't really bitch and moan about who the Diamondbacks are playing when you're down one run. You literally just needed one run. That's it. And Seattle, they won. They deserve credit for that victory. But I have no idea who any of the guys are that they came and brought out of the bullpen either. Baroa, Thornton, Campbell. I have no idea who they are. You couldn't score a run off of them. But this is the Texas team that outscored everyone in baseball this year. This is the team that handed the Astros the division. The Astros didn't win it. Thanks for handing it to us.
Yeah, they actually finished with the same amount of wins and losses. It's just the tiebreaker goes to the team that like wins more head-to-head.
Right, and the Astros...
Astros kind of beat them like a ridden mule all season. So
yes. What was the final score of the last series? 57-2? I think it was 39. Whatever the case. It was a football score. Anyway, Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. You want to weigh in on the Astros winning the AL West again? You can. If you want to weigh in on the Houston Texans taking down the Pittsburgh Steelers 30-6, you can do that as well. Up next, you got to be feeling really good about the Texans' chances because the way that the NFL is going this year, again, I'm not saying they're winning the Super Bowl, but this is definitely a potential playoff team. You'll find out why next as we go around the league.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Dude,
I'd be most worried about seeing my seminal vesicles.
Or like the Florida State seminal vesicles?
We're ready for some football, baby.
Dad, hush!
Tackling the biggest issues in the NFL.
This just in.
Here's the 10-minute drill with Paul Gallant.
Football time.
Some comments about the Houston Texans after we hear the last of C.J. Stroud's great throws on Sunday.
There's a pass. Beautiful ball. Collins, and he's going to waltz in. Touchdown.
Some text after the Texans' 30-6 beatdown of the Pittsburgh Steelers on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Was a cool experience being in NRG Stadium full of Steelers fans that were silent from the first drive on. Sean, I know you have a thought on Steelers fans. We'll get to it in a moment. I want to talk about Steelers fans' terrible towels. So when I was on my way into the stadium and saw a couple of Steelers fans with their terrible towels, those things must be gross. I saw one man rub his entire head, which had been underneath a hat with said towel, for a good 15 seconds. I also saw somebody else blow his nose into the towel. Now, two isolated incidents maybe, but you have to wonder, with a towel like that, bright yellow colors, how often are those things washed? Do you not wash it after the Steelers win if you're superstitious? Probably don't. You gotta wash your linens, guys. Linens trap germs, dirt, microorganisms, and I do wonder about the general cleanliness, hygiene of all of those Steelers fans who were there. And I know it's hard. Like, not only did you have Kenny Pickett as your quarterback going into this game, now you have Mitchell Trubisky as your quarterback going out of this game. Either way, you're bleak. But please wash those.
Sean, you also had a thought on Steelers fans. You were at this game in a suite. Ooh, I'm Sean Mabes.
Yeah, yeah. Getting wine to dine. But, yeah, I actually disagree with the texter with who said that they were silent since the first drive on. They weren't. There's quite a lot in the first half. But in the third quarter, they started making a run. They started also making a run. They kicked two field goals, right?
Right.
What are we talking
about? Felt like they were getting back in the game, though. They were running easily down the Texans' throat.
That is a game that the Texans have lost in the past.
Yes.
But one thing I noticed is that on big third downs, especially it felt like in the red zone, when the Steelers were in the red zone. Again, the Steelers have the ball in the red zone, and it is so loud in NRG Stadium, and you think, oh, okay, the Texans fans finally waking up. No, the terrible towels full of snot and sweat are spinning around, hitting other people in the face, spreading, being super spreaders, as the Steelers offense has the ball. And I'm like, I'm ready to slap right now the Pittsburgh Steelers, low fan IQ.
Sean, to piggyback off of that, and I wish I was able to get this on my phone, but I don't know if it was the third quarter. It probably was, because it was during this time. There was a Steelers offensive lineman who was motioning towards the crowd to pipe down.
I was keeping an eye out to see if like Kenny Pickett was going to do it.
An offensive lineman for the Steelers definitely said pipe down.
That again, it's crazy. I thought it was actually a pretty fun atmosphere for the game, because it felt like a really good bowl game almost, where it was like it was loud when both teams made a play. Like
Correct.
When either team made a play, it got loud. And I thought, I mean, we've all been to a lot of Texans games where the Texans make a big play and it doesn't get that loud.
That is also true. But it was a really impressive performance by the Houston Texans. Pittsburgh Steelers fans showed up, but we're not sure how smart
C-minus
or how clean they are.
They did a better job than Matt Canada, but
that's not hard.
Gaming
to
with
do.
Faint praise, yes.
Matt Canada is a terrible offensive coordinator, and I got to say, the Steelers deciding to not go for it on fourth down with down three scores with like
coward play.
10 minutes left. Yeah. What a bunch of losers. Seriously. Loser organization, though. I can say that as a Patriots fan. Although, maybe not after today. Yesterday, yikes. It is over. It is definitely over. Anyway, a couple of comments before we go through really quickly what happened in the NFL. Old Bobby going to end up the head coach in Cincinnati. Talking about Bobby Slowick. That was an A-plus game by Bobby Slowick yesterday. I thought he did a great job. All sorts of different motions to get Tank Dell involved in the running game. I thought that considering the offensive line issues, yet another game where C.J. Stroud is not sacked. That's incredible. Stroud deserves credit for that. Sacks are a quarterback statistic. If you are good at avoiding sacks as a quarterback, that's generally the quarterback that is doing that. There are some guys who hold on to the football way too long. Joe Burrow, Russell Wilson,
Watson,
Deshaun Watson. You're right. Stroud gets that ball out. Patrick Mahomes gets that ball out. That is a skill. It is a quarterback statistic. Some more texts. Fishing with Dana says, bleep the Texans. I don't care regardless of the record. Okay, you're going to be missing out on the fun. Although he does seem like he's one of those people that thinks baseball is better than football. And okay, sure. People are still dumping on the Texans on the Twitch. I guess I shouldn't be that surprised because it's a toxic, negative cesspool. No offense.
Yeah.
I love you guys.
All they like are the Astros.
It is true. And Dusty Baker. And Martin Maldonado. Greg Todd, it was a combination of good offense from the Texans and horrendous offense from the Steelers. Yeah, the Steelers' offense was pretty bad. I mean, the first big play of the game that they tried, Kenny Pickett threw it deep to George Pickens or somebody. I don't know who the hell it was. And Steven Nelson just jumped over him and got an interception. And Fuentes Respector says, Stroud may have a 48 IQ, but he can throw strikes. You got to stop dumping on Stroud now. I'm not going to. Honestly, I might ban you if you dump on Stroud. This might be where we actually draw the line here. Because honestly, I think you're an idiot if you think Stroud's not an intelligent player on the field. Oh, is this two test? Oh, his Wonderlic. I don't even know what his Wonderlic was. Listen to him speak. Pretty eloquent. Watch him play. Pretty damn smart. You're a bozo, honestly, if you're still like digging in. It's like, well, actually, you know, you're honestly, you know what? I'll go even further. You're an effing moron. You're a stupid, idiot, dumb a-hole. If you're still one of those people that's like, oh, he's not that good. Like, I don't know what you're looking at. You're just trying to be different for the sake of being different. Cool.
You're the person no one wants to talk to at the party.
Yeah, I remember those people that were negative as like a personality. I remember them in high school.
I'm pointing some of them out right now. Junior Broncos is one of them on the Twitch. There is a couple of other ones. Like, you guys are absolute morons if you still are like, oh, Stroud's not smart. Like, no, you're not watching then. Anyway, let's continue. Around the NFL really quickly. Buffalo beat the absolute bejesus out of the Dolphins. There are no undefeated teams left in the AFC. The 49ers crushed the Cardinals 35-16. They're still unbeaten. Christian McCaffrey had 4 touchdowns. Brock Purdy had 1 incompletion. The Eagles also still unbeaten. Zach Wilson didn't look terrible for a while as Kansas City beat down the Jets. Beat the Jets 23-20. And by the way, Taylor Swift is hanging out with Blake Lively, Sophie Turner, and Brittany Mahomes, Ryan Reynolds, Hugh Jackman. There weren't enough Taylor Swift shots in the game. I know that the game got close, but I wanted more Taylor Swift.
17 cutaways was the final answer to Taylor Swift.
Yeah, not enough. I needed more. The Cowboys gave my Patriots the worst loss of the Belichick era. Congratulations to you, Cowboys fan Sean, 38-3.
Thank you.
There's a 4-way tie in the AFC South at 2-2 because the Jaguars beat the Texans' next opponent, the Falcons, in London, 23-7. Desmond Ridder for Atlanta looks terrible. Like, he looks like a more athletic Mac Jones. The Titans still have a pulse. They beat the Bengals 27-3. Huge day for the Titans pass rush. Huge day for Derrick Henry, who looked like vintage Henry and even threw a touchdown pass. The Colts lost to the Rams in overtime 29-23. You're going to see a lot of Anthony Richardson highlights. He did look cool. He also had a sub 50% completion percentage on the game. That's going to be the Anthony Richardson experience. He's cool, but is he an effective quarterback on a down-to-down basis? Maybe next year, yes. I feel like Josh Allen's arc is what he's best case hoping for. And honestly, I do think he could reach that. The Texans' next 3 opponents after Atlanta, New Orleans, a bye week, at Carolina, Tampa Bay. The Bucs are 3-1 after a 26-9 win over the Saints. The Saints look terrible on offense. Jameis Winston time. And Bryce Young and the Panthers are still winless. They lost 21-13 to the Vikings in a game where one of those Panthers' touchdowns came on a 100-yard pick 6 by Kirk Cousins. So there you go. That's around the NFL. Paul Galacho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776 to call in and text in. Overreaction or nah? 10 wins in reach for the Texans. The playoffs in reach for the Texans. And if you want to weigh in on the Astros too, 713-780-3776 to call in and text in on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Sweet Sassy Molassy.
Tonight at the Alamo Dome, he gets Happy Go Jackie on the big white guy like a donkey eating a waffle.
Back to the Paul Gallant Show, coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Pickett's going to take a chance. Deeped up the seam, and it is picked. Intercepted by Nelson. The former Steeler looking for some daylight back inside Steelers territory. And the first big defensive play for the Texans.
Most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Texans blew out the Steelers 30-6 yesterday. It was a really good performance by C.J. Stroud. A little bit of inaccuracy in this game. Really a great performance by Bobby Slowick, offensive coordinator of the Houston Texans. And yeah, I do think that his name is going to be a part, if this continues, of course, of coaching searches later in the year. Some of the stuff that he was doing in yesterday's game with a wide receiver core that I think we all looked at and collectively shrugged at, best case scenario, if didn't point at and say, this isn't a good unit. It's been great to this point. Nico Collins is 5th in the league in receiving. That's through 4 games now. Tank Dell was used in, I thought, some very creative ways. There was one play early on where they had him in motion 3 to 4 times before eventually giving him the ball for a handoff. And then after that, you also had an offensive line that switched left tackles in the middle of the game, that lost another offensive lineman, Kendrick Green, to injury, that for the second straight week allowed 0 sacks. I think part of that's on C.J. Stroud, but also the other parts Bobby Slowick. And then you heard the defensive side of things. Steven Nelson had that interception, and from there, you kind of knew Pittsburgh was going to have a tough time getting anything going. And while they did have a little bit of success in the third quarter when they started running the football, their passing offense, you could tell from the get-go, was not going to be able to get anything done against the Houston Texans defense that had both of its safeties back. Jalen Petrie was flying all over the place. Jimmy Ward was there too. And also got a good performance from Shaquille Griffin in for Derek Stingley across from Steven Nelson. He had three deflected passes on the game. I do not think that this is an overreaction. I think this is largely a byproduct of the schedule that the Texans have ahead of them. But based on what we know about the NFL through 4 weeks and some of the injuries that major teams have suffered, the Texans do not have a single unwinnable game the rest of the way. They're going to lose some of these games, but every single one of these games, it looks possible for them to win all of them. The playoffs and the division title are 100% within play. I'm not crazy saying that. Take a look at the schedule for yourself. Who's the toughest team left? 1-3 Cincinnati with banged up Joe Burrow on the road. At the New York Jets, who have a great defense. Maybe Aaron Rodgers is back from his torn Achilles by then with that experimental surgery he's having.
He was at the game.
He was at the game. He did not look happy at
the game. They only showed him slightly more than Taylor Swift.
That's true. He looked more and more miserable as the game wore on. He's like changing positions.
As Zach Wilson was balling out.
Zach Wilson didn't look bad for a while, but of course the other shoe was going to drop.
You know
it was going to happen at some point.
Yeah. You know.
Someone commented, I believe, on the Twitch. I think it was King of All Twitches, that the Texans' defense looked better. It was a good day for the defense yesterday. And yeah, part of it is Kenny Pickett and the Steelers' offense. Steelers fans are such bobos. I mean, to Sean's point, like, they're cheering for their team.
They're getting loud
with third downs when they're on offense, right?
Making it harder on their offense.
And they also thought Kenny Pickett was good going into this year. I mean, come on, people. You've seen a good quarterback before, Ben Roethlisberger. Kenny Pickett, he's the guy. But, I mean, to the Texans' credit, Jonathan Greenard had a couple of sacks. Jerry Hughes had a big sack. They had a big stop on fourth down. They were swarming to the ball. And Steven Nelson at Nelson Island against his old team got an interception. And I had to catch up with Steven Nelson, who I think wanted people to come up to him at his locker room. Not that many people came up to him at first, but he got to play against his old team. So I asked him about that.
Not just a win, an interception against your old team. What was that like?
It was great, man. You know, I'm one of those guys, like, I watch a lot of the greats, Michael Jordan, recipes Kobe, man. They look for any little thing to, I guess, have a chip on their shoulder, you know what I mean? So, you know, I keep all receipts. That's what I always say. So just give me an extra little chip.
Andre Ware said on the radio broadcast that was similar, the pick that you made to a play that was in the Raiders and Steelers game. Was that something you had seen on film?
Yeah, absolutely. Just a lot of film study. Like last week, I mentioned, you know, they scored a touchdown on that similar play with the same player. Recognized formation and just got a beat on it when we played the ball.
You mentioned keeping receipts for the football dummies like me. Was that man coverage, the interception?
Who's back there?
That's in reference to John Crumpler, a Texans online account, complimenting Steven Nelson, and Nelson getting mad because the implication was that he's not good in man coverage. Nelson tweeted this after the game was done at 3:17 p.m. It's since been deleted. Send they asked TF home. They said I wasn't what? Oh, all right. I got receipts. Gas the plane up. I don't sign names. Sign dogs. Period. I love Steven Nelson.
I love that. I don't know what it means 100%, but I love that. Whatever that is, I love it.
I love it. I love that they have an irrationally confident cornerback. You need to have one.
Yeah.
And his Twitter handle is at Nelson Island. I love it.
It is Nelson. Yeah, because he's
He needs
awesome
more interceptions.
Man defense.
We need him to get more interceptions because I want him to talk more. I only want to hear from Steven Nelson. That's the only person that I actually think is an entertaining quote on this team. Probably he's a little bit better on social media than he is in the microphone. He was very professional there. You know, I do want him to kind of take it and go Richard Sherman with Michael Crabtree.
Oh, yeah.
Next time I'm in the locker room.
Throw to a sorry-ass receiver like, I don't know. I don't even know who Pat Freiermuth
is. Signing a sorry-ass corner like Patrick Peterson. Hashtag washed. And not even signing me? Forget about it.
What was it? I run with dogs? What was the thing? I don't
know. Honestly, I don't know what this is.
It's not important enough to look.
I don't sign names. I sign dogs.
Okay, yeah.
You can't sign a dog to a contract.
Oh, wait, no, there's no rule that says a dog can't play in the NFL.
Airbud.
Yeah.
Golden receiver. What a movie. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776 to call in and text. And the Twitch's feelings are hurt because I said that they're dumb when it comes to football. And now they're saying, well, we don't even watch football. Classic them. Anyway, you want to talk about the Astros? You're AL West champions. You can. We're going to power rank all the heroes for the Astros this weekend. Maybe we'll throw some Texans guys in there as well, because it is a beautiful day to be a Houston sports fan today. Paul Gallant Show, the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, the best sports radio station in Houston.
I've got to prove that I'm the best, and I'm racing no matter what you tell me.
Huh?